naturally we are celebrating that. We are celebrating that. Generally people mourn on such an occasion. But for us, it is a day of celebration. Because both the appearance and disappearance of a Vaishnava is an occasion of celebration. By appearing here, he delivers the conditioned souls of this world. And by disappearing, he enters into the eternal pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Appearing here, he benefits the world. And by disappearing, he enters into the eternal pastimes of the Supreme Lord to delight the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his eternal consorts and his associates. He was an exceptionally brilliant personality. From his Pranam Mantra, we get a glimpse of his brilliance. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale. He came by the divine arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to benefit this world. He's a very intimate associate of the Supreme Personality of God. And he's an eternal associate of the Lord. His spiritual identity has been revealed by some of his very intimate disciples. He revealed them, revealed to his intimate disciple. And in that way we get to know that he is an eternal associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, a Manjari, who is a Nayana Manjari. It has been described as Guna Manjari Garima Guna Hari Bhashana Vayana Kamala Priyanayana. Three identities have been revealed here. That Srila Gaurakishordas Babaji Maharaj is the Guna Manjari. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur is Kamala Manjari in the spiritual sky. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is the Nayana Manjari. He came in order to fulfill the prediction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Appeared as an illustrious son of an illustrious personality, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually started to revive Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, which was actually lost in course of time. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was therefore considered to be the seventh Goswami. The sixth Goswami carried on the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, preaching mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and discovered the Gupta, the Lupta Kethas, the places of Krishna's pastime in Vrindavan that were lost. And in course of time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dharma also was lost. And people didn't know where Mahaprabhu's birthplace was. Some unscrupulous people started to propagate other side of the Ganges, now with the towns, in that area was the place of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's first times. But it was Bhakti Vinod Thakur who identified that this is Mahaprabhu's birthplace. But who was here, not on that side of the lake of Ganges, this side of the lake. Although Bhakti Vinod Thakur started the revival mission of reviving Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, and he discovered his dham, but he was a very high-ranking government officer during the British time. Therefore, he did not have much time to personally preach. When he was the deputy magistrate of Jagannath Puri, he prayed to Lord Jagannath to send him a qualified assistant who would further his mission. And as a result of that, Lord Jagannath sent him, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, who appeared in 1874 on 6th February. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur named him as Bimala Prasad, because Bimala Devi is the recipient of Jagannath's prasad. All of Jagannath's prasad goes to Bimala Devi, and from there Jagannath's Mahaprasad is distributed. So that's why he named him as Bimala Prasad, which is actually the Mahaprasad of Lord Jagannath. And from his childhood only, he started to display some very, very unusual symptoms. One thing is that when he was born, the umbilical cord was wrapped around his torso like a Brahmin thread, indicating that he was a born Brahmin. When he was 6 months old, about 6 months old, it was the time for Jagannath's chariot festival, Ratha Yatra festival. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur's house was on the way to Gundicha temple from Jagannath temple. And when the chariot of Lord Jagannath came in front of Bhakti Vinod Thakur's house, the chariot stopped. And Jagannath refused to move. For 3 days, Jagannath's chariot was just stuck there, couldn't move. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur's wife, Bhagavati Devi, took the opportunity, thought, now that the Jagannath's Rath is here, let me take the child and place him at the feet, at the lotus feet of Lord Jagannath. And she was a very important, the wife of a very important person. He was Bhakti Vinod Thakur was the deputy magistrate. And he was also the caretaker of Jagannath temple, because it was the arrangement that the deputy magistrate would be the caretaker of the temple. He would be the person in charge from the government side. Even now, that custom is prevalent in many areas. Like the district magistrate or deputy magistrate becomes I remember in Ujjain there is a very famous Lord Shiva's temple, Mahakal temple. And whoever becomes the district magistrate of Ujjain, he becomes in charge of the temple. So that was Bhakti Vinod Thakur was, I can see that it was the privilege system that has been continuing since a long time. And so he was such an important person, so that everybody appreciated that his wife is going up on the chariot, allowed her to go up on the chariot. And Bhagavati Devi, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's mother, placed him at Jagannath's feet. And the child immediately went and embraced the feet of Lord Jagannath. And Lord Jagannath's garland slipped out of his neck and fell. In an amazing way, Lord Jagannath's garland fell on the baby's head. And all the pujaris there, they shouted out, "Jai, Jai, Jagannath." They could recognize that this boy is a very special recipient of Jagannath's mercy. And they predicted that in due course of time, this child will become an exceptionally prominent spiritual personality. Bhaktivinoda Thakur could also recognize that this child was the gift of Lord Jagannath, and that's why he named him also accordingly as Vimana. When Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was 7 years old, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was building a house in Calcutta. And when they were digging the foundation, they found a Purma deity, a deity of Purma, tortoise incarnation of the Lord. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave that Purma Shila, Purma Deity, to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he also gave him the Harinam Mantra to him, Bhagavanta Mantra to him, and taught him how to worship. And we can see from a very early age, he started to, under the guidance of his father, he started to worship the Supreme Personality of God. 2 years after that, Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave him the Nrisimha techniques to worship and gave him the Nrisimha mantra. He was an exceptionally brilliant boy. Like he would just read or hear something once and he would dream. He was a Shruti man. And exceptionally talented. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was printing different literatures to propagate Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching. And so he had a printing press, and he himself used to write, and he himself used to edit and distribute. And at the age of 9, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur started to help him in proofreading in his printing. And then in some cases he started also editing in writing. Such a brilliant person. And then when he was a young boy, he established a society called the August Assembly. And all the members of this August Assembly took a vow, took a vow to remain a lifelong brahmachari. At the age of about 14, 15, he actually established this brahmachari society. And Unfortunately, everyone dropped out except the one person. That is Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. You are the only one who maintained that vow of lifelong celibacy. He, although he was an exceptionally brilliant student, but he dropped out from his college. He did not complete his college education. And he mentioned about that if he became materially, if he displayed material qualification in this way, then he may be entangled in the materialistic endeavors. People may force him to become entangled in materialistic activities. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madhava Shakti Prima Ki Shri Man Mahaprabhu Shri Shri Panchakati Ki Jai. The material, so that in order to not get entangled in the materialistic activity, he did not pursue his materialistic education. Although he was exceptionally brilliant, we can see his English writing is so scholarly that you have to literally sit with a dictionary to understand what he wrote. And once Prabhupada's godbrother Srila Sridhar Maharaj told me that he wrote like that because he wanted to prove to the Englishmen that he, being an Indian, being a non-English, can write better English. He wanted to prove that he had a better command over English language than an Englishman. And the reason also was that at that time, India was a British colony. So the English people used to look down upon the Indians. Like when Mahatma Gandhi attended the Round Table Conference in England, Churchill commented, "Who is that native here?" Mahatma Gandhi looked around and said, "That it seems that I am the only foreigner." So it's Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's English, therefore we find to be very difficult to understand. Then he had a specific purpose, whereas his Bengali writing is very, very lucid, very easy to understand. But his English writing is very complicated. That is, he wanted to make a statement in order to generate confidence or respect in their hearts. Because English didn't really look up to them. I mean, did not really have much to think about the local Indians. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, at some point, at a young age, he went to Tripura, which was the capital, which was a provincial kingdom. And on the invitation of the king of Tripura, he went there to help their royal. They were writing a book on the history and heritage of their royal family, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was assigned with that responsibility to write that. And he went, and the king also became so expert, having so impressed with his exceptional scholarship, that he appointed him as the private tutor of his son, the prince. And It was obvious that the prince was very much affected by him in his early age, which he maintained until the king of Tripura became a great patron of Vaishnavism later stage. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati didn't stay there for too long because he saw that there were a lot of envy, a lot of politics, a lot of people. Many people didn't like that he was becoming so favorite of the king, because they themselves wanted to win the favor of the king. And when they saw that he was winning the favor, he just came from nowhere, and within no time he became so dear to the king. So they became very envious. And when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur noticed that, he left. He decided to leave. However, the king was so impressed with him, and so much affected by him, influenced by him, that although he was not there in the kingdom anymore, although he was not doing anything for him, although he was not teaching his son anymore, but still he gave him a pension, a grant. Of certain amount of money was being sent to him every month. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur accepted that grant or pension for 3 years, and then he stopped it. He didn't want to take it. So that shows what a brilliant person he was, that whoever came in contact with him became impressed. Exceptionally. At some point, he asked Bhaktivinoda Thakur who he should take initiation from. Because in the Vedic culture, the father doesn't give initiation to the son. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur suggested that you take initiation from Gaur Kishordas Babaji. Now Bhaktivinoda Thakur, was an extremely learned personal. His son, the son of a deputy magistrate, so aristocratic, so learned, so scholarly. And Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj was a Babaji. He was a wandering mendicant. Didn't have any place to stay. Deliberately, he did not have any places. He was illiterate. He didn't have any education. He couldn't even sign his own names. These are all, of course, the past times. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur recognized him to be a pure devotee of the Lord. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was instructed by him to take initiation from Srila Gaur Kishordas Babaji. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur approached him and said, "Look, I want to take initiation from you." Gaur Kishordas Babaji, initiation from me? I don't give initiation to anybody. And actually Gaur Kishordas Babaji didn't give initiation to anybody. But he kept on insisting. And he said, "Look, I have been interested, so scholarly. You are such a learned person. And the son of such an exalted personality. So how can I give initiation? And first of all, I don't give initiation to anybody, and then I'm not qualified to give initiation, and I'm not specially qualified to give initiation to someone like you." So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur kept on insisting, "No, please, I want to take initiation from you only." So, and he said that material scholarship, what's the use of that? What really matters is love for Krishna, devotion to Krishna. That is what I want from you." And Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj said, "Okay, I'll ask Krishna and let's see what he thinks about it." Then, after a few days, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur went to him and asked him, "Did you ask Krishna?" Gaurakrishnadas Babaji Maharaj said, "I forgot." In this way, two, three times he went to him and he just gave him some excuse or other like that, he forgot. And finally, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati told him, "If I don't get initiation from you, then what's the use of this life?" Now, seeing his sincerity, finally Gaurakrishnadas Babaji Maharaj gave him initiation and gave him such a beautiful name which had been broadcasted in Pranam Mantra. Srimati Radharani is Krishna's very dear. Varsho Bhanavi Devi. Vrishabhanu, King Vrishabhanu's daughter is Varsho Bhanu. Vrishabhanu's daughter, Srimati Radharani. Because she is the daughter of Vrishabhanu, one name of Radharani is Varsho Bhanavi Devi. And her Daita, her very dear, her lover is Krishna. Varsha Bhanavi Devi Daita Dash. Servant of Krishna, who is very dear to the daughter of King Krishna. That is how the given the spiritual name. And then Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur took this vow to chant 10 billion names of the Lord. I mean, no, sorry, not 10. 1 billion. 1 billion. Shato koti. 1 koti. 1 crore is 10 million, and 100 crore, therefore, is 1 billion. And he stayed here in Navadvip and chanted. And then only, after that only, he embarked on his preaching mission. In the meantime, Bhakti Vinod Thakur left the planet. Gaurakrishnadas Babaji Maharaj left the planet. And in 1918, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur took sannyas from the picture of Srila Gaurakrishnadas Babaji Maharaj. And he assumed the name Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. Siddhanta Saraswati was already his title that he assumed from the astrological society. He was so brilliant in this topic of astrology. He actually re-established one lost culture of astrological study. Generally, astrological study nowadays is based on the movement of the moon. It's a lunar calculation. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur established the Surya Siddhanta according to the solar movement of the sun. And it was, his presentation was so brilliant that the Astrological Society of India at that time inferred the title Siddhanta. So when he took sannyas, he just assumed that title with Bhakti. Yes, Siddhanta Saraswati without bhakti is useless. So the real purpose of Siddhanta and becoming dear recipient of Saraswati's mercy depends upon devotion to the Supreme Personality. And then he started his preaching mission. He went to Calcutta and started to preach. When Srila Gaurakishordas Babaji Maharaj left his body, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was observing his vow of chanting the 1 billion name of the Lord. He was on this side of the river. There was nothing on this side of the river at the time. Like it was just barren, uncultivated. He was living on the bank of the Ganges, building a hut. And during the rainy season, the roof of the hut would leak. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, inside the room, used to sit under a umbrella, chanting the holy name of the Lord to protect himself from the shower. The news came to him that Gaurakishordas Babaji Maharaj left his body. So he immediately went there, and when he went there, he found that the Babajis of Navadvip were arranging to take the body of Gaurakishordas Babaji Maharaj, tying his feet with a rope, and drag it along the roads of Navadvipa. Because in a very humble state, Gaurakishordas Babaji Maharaj mentioned that when I leave my body, please drag my body through the dust of Navadvipa so that that may bestow the Lord's mercy, the dust of the Dham. Show the Lord's mercy. And in this way he displayed a very humble mood, which was a very, very humble devotee actually. So when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur saw that they were making the arrangement to drag his body through the road, he protested. He said, no, you can't do that. They said, no, this is what we wanted. He said, look, pure devotee in a humble state, he may have said that, but religiously we have to do that. But they insisted on doing that. He said, just like Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami is saying that I am more fallen than a worm in the stool, and I am more sinful than Jagai and Madhai. Does it really mean that he is that? So this way, argument started. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that I am his only disciple. If anybody has any right over his body, that's me. That I am his disciple. But still they would not listen to him. And there were quite a few of them when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was alone. And so it was becoming difficult. They were just difficult to face. Finally, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, anyone who did not indulge in illicit activity in last 1 month can touch his body and take it. Fine, you want to take it, but make sure that if anybody who did not indulge in sex, in illicit sex for last 1 month, he can take it. No one can. 1 week, no one can follow. 3 days, no one can follow. 1 day, no one can. Then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati has to put his body and put him in the samadhi on the bank of the Ganges. Then when Ganges started to change the course, about to go under the river, go into the river. At that time, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur actually brought his samadhi to Chaitanya, to Chaitanya. So this is how wonderful a personality he was. We all know when he met Srila Prabhupada in Calcutta in 1922. At that time Prabhupada was a 26-year-old man, very successful in his career, a householder, had a family, had a son. But he was so impressed by meeting him. Prabhupada himself actually mentioned about his meeting with Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. One of Prabhupada's friends, Naren Mallik, who were actually coming from a very aristocratic family, like the Mallik family. Naren Mallik and Prabhupada were very close friends. So Naren Mallik came and told Prabhupada that, you know, a sadhu has come. So let's go and see. I want you to see. Prabhupada said, look, I'm not interested in meeting sadhu. Because Prabhupada saw his father would invite the so-called sadhus at home, who were just expert in eating and sleeping. They had no knowledge about Krishna and spiritual. So he thought that he also is one such sadhu. Prabhupada actually mentioned that his friends, when he was young, his friends used to consider him to be the leader. So Naren Mallik actually wanted to have his approval, like what he thought of this father. So he insisted that, come, no, please meet this man. So finally Prabhupada agreed, and he met. And as we all know, right at the first meeting, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur told him, you educated young men, why don't you take up this mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and spread it all over the world in English language? And then when they were leaving, Prabhupada was saying that when they were leaving, when they were going home after meeting him, Naren asked him, so Abhay, what do you think of him? And Srila Prabhupada told him, now the responsibility of preaching Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message has come to such an individual, such a person, that he is bound to do something about it. Prabhupada also could see, just as Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur could recognize Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada also could recognize the spiritual master. And although Prabhupada did not get initiated by him for 12 more years, but he took up that instruction to be his life and soul. He quit his job, he neglected all his other responsibilities, and he just completely committed himself to spreading Krishna consciousness and preparing himself to go to the West and preach Krishna consciousness. And for Prabhupada, it was a struggle for another 44 years. In 22, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave him the instruction, and eventually Srila Prabhupada managed to go to the West in 1965 and started to preach Krishna consciousness there. And then what happened in history is the most wonderful history of this world that will be written in golden words, golden letters. Krishna consciousness movement spread. Just within the short span of 10 years' time, it spread all over the world. establishing the foundation of the future propagation of Krishna consciousness according to the prediction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Bhaktisiddhanta was, Saraswati was such a upright person and so committed to his conviction and so bold to stand up against any inappropriate propagation of Mahaprabhu's teachings, that once a king called Manindra Chandra Nandi, who was quite famous as a patron of religious activities, and he was also seen as a kind of a religious reformer in India at the time, king, he invited Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to one program that he organized, inviting all kinds of so-called spiritual leaders in his palace.